Live from the historic parsonage of 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania. It's Iron Sharpens Iron, a radio platform on which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs 27, verse 17 tells us, "Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." Matthew Henry said that in this passage, quote, "We are cautioned to take heed whom we converse with, and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better." It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next hour, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. Now here's our host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, and the rest of humanity on the planet Earth listening via live streaming. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron, wishing you all a happy Monday on this 8th day of June 2015. I'm very excited to have as a guest for the first time on Iron Sharpens Iron, Richard Romano, who is the brother of world-renowned, award-winning actor and comedian Ray Romano, of Everybody Loves Raymond fame. And today we're airing an episode of Everybody Loves Richard, because this is all about Richard Romano and his career as a New York City police detective, and more importantly, about his conversion to Jesus Christ through a series of tragedies that occurred in his life, both on the job as a New York City police sergeant and also at home. And this is all chronicled, these events are chronicled in a movie that is now out on DVD called The Investigator. And you can find out more about that movie at theinvestigatormovie.com. That's theinvestigatormovie.com. And you can also order that movie on DVD at cvbbs.com. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com. But it's my honor and privilege to have you on the air with us on Iron Sharpens Iron, Richard Romano.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me on.
And of course, Rich, I want to get just a few questions out of the way on Everybody Loves Raymond, because I don't want them haunting and plaguing the minds of our listeners. I just want to move on from there. But I know that you were based, or the character, I should say, of Robert on Everybody Loves Raymond, the police officer. He was based very loosely on you, because basically what Ray did was he combined two of his brothers. He gave the name of the character Robert and the career of you as a police officer for the character. If you could pick up on there, and also let our listeners know how closely that family resembled your family in real life.
Well, that's correct. He needed a sibling on there, and he used my profession and my other brother Bobby's name. And, you know, and then he, you know, it was a comedy, so he had to stretch some of the stories. I mean, most of the stories and the tales, you know, are made up, obviously. And I think the mother, played by Doris Roberts, was not like my mother at all. More like the head writer, Phil Rosenthal's mother. I will say that the father, played by Peter Boyle, was similar to my father in some respects. You know, there were some similarities in there. And Raymond's wife, well, I'm sure Raymond had got nagged a little bit by his wife. But, you know, obviously a comedy, not so much as Patricia Heaton did it. So, I mean, it was loosely based on it, and he had a good time with it. We had a good time, and, you know, just like anything on TV or the movie, you know, there's some stretching of the truth and some literary exaggeration, I guess you could say, just to make it good for the screen, you know. But, you know, so, but it was a fun show, and had to be comedy, and, you know, we're all happy for him.
Oh, I loved that show. That was one of my all-time favorite shows in all of my history of viewing television. And having had lunch with you and sitting right across the table from you, I know that you never once touched your chin before you ate something.
Yeah, I think you got that because when we played baseball, I had a good luck charm of touching the bottom of the bat to my chin. So, you know, baseball players have a lot of quirks, that's for sure.
Well, let's pick up in the movie, the Investigator movie. I know that it very closely follows the actual events of your life, but there were events that were altered or changed a bit, not only due to artistic license for dramatic purposes, but also because of some things that you wanted to keep private and personal that you didn't want to share with the public. But you were a New York City police detective and sergeant, and in the movie you were involved in overseeing a police sting, an undercover investigation involving a drug dealer. And if you could pick it up from there.
I mean, do you want me to do the spoiler alert? Or
yeah, I think that's what you got to do. And obviously, you give away as much as you want to give away for interview purposes.
Even if we tell the audience a little bit of the plot, I mean, it'd still be interesting to watch it. There's some things we won't give away. But in the movie, it opens up with a New York City police sergeant involved in an undercover narcotics squad, and just like I was. And, you know, it's a shame the way the police departments are today getting ripped and torn apart by the public. I mean, there's a lot of bad cops, but a lot of bad people in every profession, but I've never seen it this bad. But anyway, it was just a police officer and a sergeant. Well, I was the sergeant, and in the movie, an undercover bust went bad. The undercover detective, mistakenly thought that a person was dealing drugs, and he pushed the issue too much. And the person punched out the detective, the undercover detective, and then the backup team came in, and then there was a struggle for a gun, and tragically, the unarmed person who was thought to be dealing drugs got killed. I mean, that all was true. I mean, it was a tragic incident. But it was ruled an accident. A little bit, you know, unlike some of the ones going on today, which were a little bit more to blame for the police. This one, look, somebody innocent died, so it really doesn't matter whether, who was at fault. Somebody truly died who wasn't supposed to. But the police were exonerated in that one. And it was my undercover officer who actually fired the gun, Colonel Scott. And for the movie, as you said, for dramatic purposes, I ended up firing the gun. But regardless, it had the same effect in that it was such a high-profile shooting, and you know, it was a lot of still public unrest. That I had my 20 years on the job already, and they recommended, because of the publicity that I rendered, because who my brother was, they suggested that I had two choices, that I could either retire and take my pension of 20 years, which I made, or I continue. They didn't want to take a chance of me getting involved in any kind of police action. They wanted to say that I would have to work inside the rest of my career, and that's not what I took the job for. So I'm forced to retire, but I was steered that way.
Okay.
Police force.
I'm sorry, what was the last thing you said, Rich?
So at that point, I retired at the police force with my pension intact and, you know, just in good graces, but I did retire after that. So.
Okay, and if I could ask you to always keep the, I know that you had to use a cell phone today, so if you could always keep the phone close to your mouth, because sometimes it seems like you disappear there. But this is just this is just one of the things that always goes on with the audio issues with radio. But but you were from what the way that the movie describes you personally in regard to your spirituality, you were basically just a nominal Roman Catholic or Roman Catholic by name only. You didn't. You seemed to be agnostic, that you really didn't know for certain whether or not God existed, and this was just one of the profound initial steps. There may have been others before this, but this was really a profound, monumental step. This tragedy in the Lord chipping away at your heart. Am I right on that?
Yes. I mean, I grew up in a Roman Catholic household. Well, and I went to Catholic grammar school, Catholic high school, St. John's University, Catholic University, and I believe, although my parents really didn't practice, I was a believer, and that changed when I became a police officer. I wasn't ready for the things I was going to see. I was physically ready, but I had no way of knowing how much of the dark side of humanity I was going to see, which I'm sure every police officer sees across the country, and it really started making me question my faith. And you know, there were times when I had some deep valleys of losing my faith, and I would try and bounce back, but it took its toll over 20 years, you know, innocent people dying and the injustice, and like I said, the dark side of humanity. It truly made me wonder if anybody was up there, and it was a constant struggle. And that at the end there, it wasn't so much that it was somebody that, you know, I was so much involved with, but I was involved in some things over the 20 years, but it just was the finality of it, and like the story of the count back. And right after that, very quickly after that, My pregnant wife had a miscarriage, and those two things just put me to the depth of despair. I gave up. That was it for me.
And one thing that I'd like to bring up, because it's a very obviously inescapable fact from the news, that there is a lot of anger, especially in the minority community, against the police. And we have riots that have been going on in Ferguson, Missouri, and in Berkeley, California, New York City, Chicago, most recently Baltimore, Maryland, where we have also heard about the tragedies of police officers being assassinated. And I wanted to get your take on this, being in a unique situation of being both a born-again believer in Christ and also having been or being a retired police officer from an inner city where you worked. And if you could also comment, tying in with that, there's a profound point in the movie where you told me that before the interview, the Lord used this incident that actually happened in your life to drain the racism out of your heart and mind. It just just sucked it right out of your soul, if you will. If you could comment on that.
Yeah, you know, I believe that God's truth can be told to us in many ways. I it's great to listen to a pastor or priest, or for some people, a rabbi, or whatever they may do. God's truth, you know, does not have to be learned in a box. I do believe that there are people out there. I was one. You know, I would go to church, and I would just sit there and you know, God bless the pastor or the priest, but I would think to myself, they have no idea of what the world is like and what I've seen, and I can't connect to them. I just can't. And then I was kind of, I felt so alone, even when I was searching for meaning, for truth, for Christ. I felt so alone because I felt I didn't connect with anybody. And I came to learn that you know, God's truth, if he wants to tell us something, in this case, if he wanted to tell me something, it didn't have to be through a priest or a pastor or maybe a passage in the Bible. He revealed the truth to me through things that, through incidents that happened, and he gave me the wisdom and the ability to analyze them and to understand that this was God's truth playing out. And one of the times when I became a policeman, you know, I was kind of like a happy-go-lucky guy as a kid and easygoing, and I got along with everybody, and, you know, I didn't even know about prejudice, you know, that didn't even enter my vocabulary. And when I became a police officer, I, you know, after a while, you become desensitized, and your heart can become cold. And but the sad part is prejudice is for all people. I started feeling like nobody understood me. You know, I'm a Caucasian male, and I wasn't just prejudiced against African American or Spanish or Jewish. I just didn't like anybody. I felt that everybody hated the police, and I had a lot of hatred in my heart. And you know, I found myself slipping away, and that was one of the reasons why I hit the depths of that valley, because I said, look at my heart. I can't be a follower of Christ like this, and you know, I'm just like a mess, and I hate everybody, and it was horrible. Horrible, and it's a hard thing to overcome. And you know, for me, the way I did, maybe for me, because I was so naive going in. Like I said, I just couldn't believe how my heart had turned this way. One day, we responded to a job, of shots fired. It was actually Christmas Eve. I just made sergeant, and it was in the ghetto, and we responded inside the apartment, and we saw the aftermath of some kind of incident where a marijuana dealer, this man, was dealing out of his apartment, in the tenement apartment building, and he laid there dead with a shot in the head amidst all the marijuana and the money. Apparently a drug deal had gone by. And I got to tell you, that's nothing out of the ordinary in New York City. I mean, back then, there was like 3,000 homicides a year. Most of them were drug-related. But so we just took it as it was, and we kept the body there for the crime scene as we vouched all the, as we collected all the drugs and the money. And as we did that, we would hear footsteps on the stairs, and one of the cops would make believe he was the dead man. They would yell up, yo, Lamont, you up there? And one of the cops would yell, yeah, come on up. And they would come up into the apartment thinking that they were going to buy some drugs from this person who was dead, and they would see him dead.
Are you there, Rich? Actually, I guess we just lost Rich, but we're going to go to a station break. If you'd like to join us on the air with a question, you can't call. You can email us at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. You can ask a question for Rich, and God willing, we will be getting him back on the air right after these messages. And first, we're going to hear a message from one of our beloved sponsors here, Lynbrook Baptist Church. No, this was not the church that the Barone family attended on Everybody Loves Raymond. Just coincidentally, they lived in Lynbrook, and I forgot to ask Rich why they had Lynbrook as the setting of that program, Everybody Loves Raymond. But don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Introducing 1031 Sermon Jams. Sermon Jams.
But now for the good news. That sounds like sweet music in the hell-bound sinner's ears, especially if you're like me and you know that you don't need Romans 3 to remind you of how wicked you are.
If you would like to learn more about 1031 Sermon Jams, visit us at our website at 1031sermonjams.com or follow us on Twitter or Facebook.
It's about God and His glory.
Okay.
And the gospel is about man and his sin.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen.
Yeah. I don't know what's the technology I have. I don't have a landline in my house. I use my cell phone, and I was outside in my car, and all of a sudden the iPhone said, "It's too hot. Your iPhone has shut down temporarily."
Well, believe me, this is not the first time that this has happened to me while conducting a live radio program. So this is just part of...
My apologies.
That's all right. It has nothing to do with you. It's par for the course, actually.
Yeah.
But you were talking about how the father of a shooting...
what was the last thing you heard me say?
I believe it was when you were in a home where there was a deceased drug dealer. And you were you said that the police officer, like when somebody would call up to see if they were...
Yeah, okay. So we were gathering the drugs and the money, and we would hear steps coming up, and it was obviously somebody who was coming in to buy drugs, and we would hear them say, "Yo, Lamont, you're up there?" And one of the officers, guy's voice, said, "Yeah, come on up." And they would come up, and they would walk into the apartment and see the person who they thought they were buying drugs from dead on the floor, and they would see four or five uniformed officers, and you can imagine the shock on their face.
Yeah.
And they're like mumbling, fumbling, and we were all just laughing and goofing and kick them in the butt and say, "Hey, get out of here, you fool," and whatever, and you know, totally distant and detached from the fact that a man was lying dead on the floor. We were actually making fun of it. And we did that about four or five times, and it was par for the course. And then finally, towards the end, we heard steps once again, and an older man started coming up. He had a fedora hat on, a large rimmed glasses, I'll never forget him, and like a cheap suit. And one of the officers saw him and said, "Hey, the old man never kicked the habit." And of course, we all laughed, including me. And the old man looked around and looked down at the body, and he just cried out, "My son, my son." And he made a few steps towards the body, and I kind of like stepped in front of him. I said, "Oh, sir, this is a crime scene." And he kind of like fell into my arms, you know, weeping. And then he looked at me and he said, "Please, Sergeant, let me hold my son one more time." And I just nodded and I let him. And he bent down and he held his son, his bloody son, you know, onto his chest and just cried and whimpered, "My son, my son, my poor son." And those officers, myself and the other officers, I don't know what they were thinking, but, oh my God, I'll never forget that. I mean, well, the only thing that went through my mind was that every man is somebody's son. And you know, it kind of like, I said, thank you, Lord, I said, for teaching me. You know, I'm not the judge of these people. I'll do my job, but truly every man is somebody's son.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, and, I had that scene in my movie, and it really changed me. And, you know, that's God's truth, really, you know. And to me, I needed something like that to learn it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, God uses his providence very often in our lives to snap us out of something or to draw us in a particular direction. And as far as racism is concerned, I have a very dear friend who passed away a couple of years ago, Dr. Robert J. Cameron. He was a black Presbyterian pastor in New Jersey, and he actually wrote a book on racism in the church called Last Pew on the Left. And he had a very even-handed approach to this sin, because he brought up not only the sins of whites in regard to racism, but in regard to blacks as well, him being a black pastor. And in fact, a very major Christian publisher passed on publishing it, even though they had told him it was the finest unsolicited manuscript that they had ever seen. But because he criticized the black church in addition to the white church, they didn't feel comfortable publishing it. But he said something that will stick with me for the rest of my life, that racism is a sin problem, not a skin problem. In other words, it's not white people don't corner the market on racism. Every race is plagued with this sin, every ethnicity. And also the police departments of the major cities in our country do not corner the market on this sin either. But you're in a very unique position, not only having battled that sin of racism, but also being a former police sergeant and a born again Christian. If you could respond to, even if briefly, to what the is going on in the inner cities with the hatred being expressed towards the police.
You know, because I teach now at a university to students who are going into the police academy, and I tell them, what I tell them is this, that, you know, I truly believe that what officers have to worry about is not so much prejudice against a race or a religion, but prejudice against people who are committing the crimes. In other words, you arrest that person, be it African American, Caucasian, Spanish, Christian, Jew, Muslim, and that's it. I think that, I mean, I truly believe that most officers, if there's any prejudice, it's prejudice against bad guys. I mean, I know that we were all men in blue, and you know, we were all mixed, and there was no racism among the ranks. And I think that, I truly think that most officers would treat a, let's, for example, the things that are going on today with Caucasian officers and African American people who are getting shot. I think that it happens all the time, and it would be the same if it was a Caucasian suspect. I really do. I think that if there's any prejudice, it's that, you know, cops hate the bad guys. That's from my perspective. It breaks my heart to see that people think it's about racism. Are there bad cops? Of course there's bad cops. There's priests who molest kids. Of course there's bad cops. But I think most cops truly are not racist, but they're scared, they're worried, they're just trying to protect themselves. Do some overreact? Of course, everything's in the gray, nothing's black and white, and it's just that, unfortunately, in my opinion, okay, and I tell my students this, when you put that uniform on and you're working with all those cops of different races, the cops are the least prejudiced of anybody. They don't care if somebody's black, white, Spanish. They just put them in the good guys, bad guys category. And it really, it's really upsetting to me to see the way the country thinks cops are so prejudiced. And I got to tell you, I think our leaders are doing a horrible job of perpetuating racism. I really do. I just don't think it's good with what they're saying.
Yeah, and it's interesting that people have attributed racism to some of these deaths of suspects when African-American police officers have been involved in some...
Yeah, that's what I don't get. It's, you know, they'll never know. I mean, I'm telling you, I worked in the inner city, New York City, and most guys I know, I mean, they didn't care. It was just, was it a criminal or not a criminal? They didn't care if the guy was white or black, Spanish. They didn't care. I mean, truly, that's why it pained me and to see the way the cities now. I mean, I think our country is more divided than ever right now.
Mm-hmm. And, well, I agree with you 100%. Well, I'm not going to give away too much of the movie, and there is some of the movie that the folks will still be able to be surprised by involving the baseball team and other things, but there is a part of the movie that's even a part of your advertising campaign that I think we can talk about a bit. How much of this was true to life in regard to the classroom project that you led your students through? This is after your retirement from the police department, and you wound up at a Christian private school, ironically, as a person who wasn't fully convinced of the existence of God. That's interesting that the Lord brought you to a Christian school.
It was amazing. I'll tell a little bit without giving it away. I mean, the movie is, like I said, 95% accurate, the way it really went down. After I left the force, through just incredible circumstance, I was offered a job as a baseball coach at just happened to be a Christian school. And, you know, we love baseball, me and my brother. And, so I took the job, and they needed a teacher for, I guess, a government class. But they said, oh, let's change the criminal justice the last quarter. And I said, I'm not a teacher. And, I do have my degrees, but I was never an official teacher in school. And but they said, no, you can do it. Tell them some stories, whatever. So I said, oh, okay. So I winged it. I mean, it was fun. So I taught a little criminal justice. And as it evolved, it was a Christian school. But as I found out, this Christian school, not all of them were believers. I mean, some of them went there for sports. Some of them went there, so for whatever reasons, I don't know why. Maybe their parents wanted them private school, but they weren't all believers. I was shocked, and there were some rowdy punk kids in there. By surprise, you know, and as you'll see in the movie, and there was a tragedy in that the youth pastor there. The youth pastor did something really. He committed a sin, and he was fired. But the problem was that all these young men and women. Now, you know, if you're mature in your faith, you know you follow the message, not the messenger, right? You follow the message of Christ, not the messengers who tell you about it. Because every man is flawed, every man, and you know, so you can't look at somebody who commits a sin or is flawed and say, oh, because of that, I'm not going to believe in Christ. We know that, but they don't know that yet.
Yeah, we have Judas in the Bible who betrayed Christ, yet he was one of the apostles, so people shouldn't reject Christ because of Judas.
Exactly. So these young men and women, 16, 17, 18, they turned away from Christ. Here was their hero, this youth pastor, and he committed the sin, and he got fired, and they just did not believe in Christ anymore. Most of them thought he was a liar. Mm-hmm. So as it turned out, as the year had been going on, we had been doing some quote unquote investigations on some infamous crimes. We investigated the the assassination of John F. Kennedy? Was it a conspiracy? And, you know, I taught the kids that even though it happened 50 years ago, and let's look at some valuable written documents and the reliable ones. And then we did the same thing with Lincoln's assassination. I kind of taught them, you know, even though nobody's on the earth was alive when Lincoln was assassinated, we can examine some historical documents, the valid ones, and come to the conclusion of what happened. And so as it turned out, we had been doing some investigations like that. So that day when I had a hand, I'm not going to give it up, but I had a hand in having that youth pastor arrested for what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I came in, and some of the students, now by this time, I had won most of them over, and they were on my baseball team and whatever. And so I came in that day, and some of them were a little bit upset, but the class was truly in an uproar over this youth pastor getting arrested, and what was the truth? What was truth? What was lies? Could they believe anything he said that day? And they asked me, one kid just said to me, well, how can we believe anything he said? And I said, look, he was telling the truth about not being involved with drugs and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then there was a couple of wise guys said, yeah, but no, but he's a liar. We can't believe anything he said. And then one other kid, JJ, said, especially what he said about Jesus Christ.
Hmm.
And that room got quiet, and one of the students said to me, Coach, was he right about Jesus? Now, I hadn't told them that my faith was wavering and I didn't know what to believe. I hadn't told them that, and I hadn't told anybody. And so he came right out and said, Coach, was you right about Jesus? And they all looked at me, and I couldn't answer. I didn't know what to say. So one of the students says, he doesn't know. Coach doesn't know anything about Jesus Christ.
Mm.
And so another one, this kid Coogan, Asian young man, he said, and he was kind of like one of the intellectual nerdy guys. He goes, I got an idea. Coach, do an investigation on Jesus Christ. And then there was murmurs, and what are you, an idiot? And some other kids. And then they all just got quiet and looked at me. And like, with longing eyes. And I said, oh my God. And so I just said, okay, we'll do an investigation on the homicide of Jesus Christ. And I had no idea where I was going to start.
Hmm.
And I guess the rest of the movie shows how I did this investigation. But let me tell you, listeners, that, you know, we as Christians will read the Bible and take it as God's word, but you can't quote the Bible. You can't say to somebody, well, the Bible says Christ rose from the dead. If they don't believe in the Bible, you can't tell them that. So one of the kids yelled out, and Coach, you have to do it without the Bible. And he was right. Could I investigate the homicide of Jesus Christ and whether he rose from the dead without the Bible? Because let's face it, the Bible's prejudice. The Bible's going to say Christ rose from the dead. So, yeah, for us Christians, it's a great source, but not for people on the fence. So that's what I did. I proceeded to, he challenged me, and with the help of my assistant coach, Carl Gennaro, I began this investigation, and I presented it. So as I was teaching my class, I was learning it myself.
Hmm.
Yeah, and it was, and then, you know, and that's how the movie proceeded, and then obviously it came to a nice conclusion. Well, I'm not going to, it's a surprise ending, as you saw.
Yes.
So it's not like, one thing I wanted to do was I wanted to make a realistic movie where it's not all hokey, and you know, some of the movies, you know, some of the Christian movies, just, you know, I don't know. Me.
I know exactly what you mean.
I mean, I'm not gonna, you know, it's beautiful. Any Christian movie's great, but for me as a police officer, I said, you know, oh, really? Oh, okay. You know, that's the way the world is, you know.
By the way, how did Carl feel about the way that he was portrayed in the movie?
I'm sorry, what was the last thing you said?
How did Carl, was it Carl your assistant coach? How did he feel about the way that he was portrayed in the movie? He was kind of...
Say about it?
Wasn't he kind of like a nerdish guy?
You know what, let me tell you about Carl. That guy, you know, he was heavy, and, you know, he was a very soft-spoken, humble man, and he was a scientist. He taught science. He actually was a scientist at one point. You know, he was, I don't know if you want to classify him as a, you know, a scholarly nerd or something. Didn't get much respect, but the one thing he loved was baseball, and I kind of didn't have any many allies there, and I took as my assistant coach. We had such a great bond, and then I told him everything as we went along, and as I struggled, I almost quit the job, you know, and he kept me from quitting, and he gave me those first couple hints, clues, as he said, to steer my investigation in the right way. As he said, you know, he's a scientist. He called himself the fat scientist, but he said he had his doubts, and he steered me in the right way. And oh my gosh, you know, I just want to tell you, if it wasn't for him, I don't think I would have made it. And you know what? Because it's ironic that I'm having this interview with today, because 2 days ago he passed away in his sleep.
Wow.
Yeah, he was 60, and he was. We're waiting to hear from the autopsy, but I think I think he had asthma problems and heart problems, and it was so sad. Yeah,
well,
God bless him. He saved me, boy. I mean, he was probably my best friend ever, and he saved my life. He steered me in the wrong, he steered me in the right direction, and I was going so wrong the whole time. And he's just steered me in the right direction, and I'll always love him and remember him. Yeah, and you know, yeah, days ago he passed away. But I'll when you see his character up there, you'll see, you know, everybody from the movie has been calling me up. They never met him, but as they said, just from what I told them about Carl, and just from the character that was written about him, they could see what a great man he was, a great man of Christ, you know?
Amen. So we're going to go to our final break right now. If you have any questions for Rich Romano about his conversion to Christianity, about the movie The Investigator, which can be investigated at theinvestigatormovie.com, just email us right now. We are live. chrisarnzen@gmail.com is the email address to email us a question for Rich Romano. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. We'll be right back after this final break. Don't go away.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions, like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
Tired of box store Christianity? Of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience, featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times. 631-929-3512. Or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
Welcome back. This is Chris Sarnes and your host of Iron Sharpens Iron. Today our guest has been Rich Romano, who is the brother of, the older brother of world-renowned, award-winning actor Ray Romano from Everybody Loves Raymond fame. And if you'd like to join us on the air, we have less than 15 minutes left if you have a question. Chris Arnzen at gmail.com. Chris Arnzen at gmail.com. And Rob on Long Island, I will get to your question in a minute that you've emailed to us. I have a quick question, very quick, about Everybody Loves Raymond, because while you were off the air, we played an ad for Lynbrook Baptist Church, and I'm sure many of the folks there are wondering, why did they pick Lynbrook as the setting for Everybody Loves Raymond? Do you know?
No, we grew up in Forest Hills, Queens.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I got no idea. It's funny.
Right. Yeah. Rob from Long Island asks the question, since this movie that you created is a Christian-themed movie, did you run into any serious problems financing it?
Yeah, well, look, you know, it's funny because when I did the script, actually I had, I had doors open for me because of my brother Ray, and I said, hey, can you give it to your agent, see if anybody wants to do it? And he went to like 10 major producers and nobody wanted to touch it. They just don't want it. I think it's a little bit different now with a couple of things on TV, but they didn't want it, and I said, okay, I'll do it myself, and I just researched Christian producers, and, I did find one, and we got a finance, fairly low budget for $1 million, but, after that, when we wanted to distribute it, same thing, we had to go to Christian distributors, and distribute it. It got into the theaters for a while, but yes, I mean, it's not that whatever, their prejudice or anything, it's just that they don't think that it appeals to the masses, and if it doesn't appeal to the masses, they don't make money, and so they don't want to bother with it, So, obviously there's some Christian movies out there that do real well, but it is a hard go, and, I did it because I know Christ called me to it, and I was going to do it no matter what, but it is hard. It's hard to get it financed. I went to one TV producer and because I was going to have a TV movie at one point, and he said, no, they want sex, drugs, vampires, Night of the Living Dead, all that stuff. So it's hard. It's hard, but I don't know if Rob is thinking of doing it, but there are Christian producers out there who could do an independent movie for $1 million, a few million. They are out there.
And one of the things that you had shared with me over lunch, which you gave me permission to address, and I'm not going to ask you for any details necessarily, but you had said something to me pretty interesting, and I'm not being sensationalist when I say this. I wanted to let our audience know that I'm not being a sensationalist, but you actually believe that since you started making this film, both you and the star, Wade Williams, who is also a believer, as you said, you're experiencing some kind of demonic oppression or something like that that has been going on since you began this project with making this film.
Chris, when I made this film, I kind of made a deal with God, number one. I wasn't doing it for money. I was just getting the message out. And, some people made money. I wasn't one of them, but that's not the main thing. When I went down there, I had some extremely devout Christians told me that I was going to be attacked. And, I say, all right, And me and Wade Williams, it's been a rough 2 years, and from what from what some mature Christians have told me, that the devil will attack you where it hits the hardest, and that's in your family. You know, and both of us have struggled with our family, you know, specifically our marriage. I guess marriage is tough in the country, you know, and even without that. And so both of us have gone through some rough times, you know. Just got to keep praying that we could work it out. I don't know, but I truly believe that. I truly believe that since the movie came out, you know, I mean, what joy for me that I could get the story out and some people, you know, come to Christ because of it. But I will accept this oppression that Satan has given me and Wade Williams will too. But it has been rough. It has been rough.
Well, I certainly request that everybody listening who is a genuine follower of Christ, if you could pray for Rich Romano and for Wade Williams, who starred in the movie in the role of Detective Bonacore, which in reality is supposed to be Rich Romano. And if you could pray for both of them and that the Lord would bring them peace and strength and courage and confidence that he is with them during this trial, these trials, and that Romans 8:28 was true when it came from the pen of the Apostle Paul, and it's true today that all things work together for the good for those who are the called, for those who love God and are the called according to Christ Jesus. And we just offer our prayers up for you. And
we're both on Facebook, Wade Williams and Richard Romano. If anybody wants to throw a prayer of encouragement to us, I'm sure Wade would appreciate it. And you know, they're free to say hello to us on Facebook and just maybe throw us, you know, and join us in a prayer or something. It'd be really great. We both need to be encouraged.
Amen. In fact, there was something very interesting that I saw. I am not a fan of the Oprah Winfrey Show by any stretch of the imagination, but years ago, I saw Ray and the whole cast of Everybody Loves Raymond. In fact, I believe Peter Boyle was still living at the time and was on there. And but the whole cast, as I recall, was on that program. And Brad Garrett, is that not his name, who played Robert?
Yes.
Brad Garrett, interestingly, urged Ray, your brother, to take a note out of his pocket that Ray said that he carries with him wherever he goes, and he's been carrying it with him ever since he left Queens for Hollywood after he got the sitcom Everybody Loves Raymond. And the text, the scriptural text was, "What profiteth a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul?" And I was fascinated that Brad Garrett would actually urge him to read that on the air.
Yeah, I put that little note in Raymond's suitcase before he left, and we never talked about it. And then 9 years later, when he's retiring from the show, the last show, he came out and he said, "I saved this note for my brother for 9 years, and now I'm going to work on my soul," or something to that effect. It was really nice. And you know, Chris, it is funny, Brad Garrett, I mean, something must be, Christ might be knocking on his door, because, you know, he's of the Jewish faith, and I know he doesn't believe Christ is the Son of God. Oh, we got along great. I love the guy. But maybe Christ is just knocking on his door now, you know?
Who knows? Yeah. That's right. Well, obviously, many Jews in the first century of the church were called to him, and they still get called to him by his grace and mercy every day. And we have a lot of wonderful ministries that dedicate themselves to reaching out to the Jewish people through the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And so pray for that whole crew there that was on the Everybody Loves Raymond program. You never know. And I know that Patricia Heaton, who I met on Huntington, Long Island years ago at a book signing, I know that she professes to love Christ, and she used to be a member of a church in Brooklyn that is pastored by a friend of mine. So it's interesting. I know that she's very pro-life, which must be a lonely place in the in the world of Hollywood.
Oh, it sure is, boy. It sure is.
Well, before we go off the air, Rich, I want you to just unburden your heart to our listeners and let them leave the program with whatever you want most etched in their hearts and minds.
Okay. I would just like to say that, you know, this world could be confusing, and Christ did say that we will experience troubles. Not we may, but we will experience troubles. But take heart, for I have come to save the world. I just would urge anybody out there, whether to strengthen your faith in Christ, or from what I believe is a lot of people are on the fence. If you're on the fence, just God gave us a mind. Just go and investigate it for yourselves. Investigate in any way you can. Anything you do in life, just investigate whether Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you have any doubt, and you know, just go in with an open mind. Look at the unbiased evidence. You don't have to take anybody's word from it. And then if you do come to conclude that he's the Son of God, then you can read his word in the Bible, and that it truly means something to you. So I'll just leave you with that. Just, if you have any doubt, investigate whether you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you need any tips or anything, like I said, Facebook me. I'll steer you in the right direction.
Great. And, of course, the Apostle Paul commended the Bereans for investigating every word that he said. And even though he was an apostle, he didn't just tell people, just believe what I say because I'm an apostle. He commended the Bereans for testing him with the Word of God. And he also warned in the book of Galatians. He warned the church of Galatia not even to believe the message from him or an angel from heaven if they had another gospel. So that's another good reason that you should be investigating these things prayerfully and humbly.
Yeah, exactly. You know, let me just say that it's not a sin to have doubt and to investigate. That's what God wants us to do.
Amen. And I want to let our listeners know that the Investigator movie, you can find out more about it at theinvestigatormovie.com. That's theinvestigatormovie.com. You can also order the DVD from Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, which is cvbbs.com. That's C for Cumberland, V for Valley, BB for Bible Book, and S for Service.com. And they would be more than happy to take your order. I also have to thank, from the bottom of my heart, my dear friends at Solid Ground Christian Books for being a new sponsor of the Iron Sharpens Iron radio program, solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com. I hope that you all tune in tomorrow. I've got a great guest on tomorrow. In fact, the whole week I've got a great lineup. But in particular, tomorrow we have Phil Johnson, who's the executive director of John MacArthur's ministry, Grace to You, the world-renowned radio and television Bible teacher and author and pastor out there in California, John MacArthur's ministry. Well, Phil Johnson is the executive director of Grace to You, and he's going to be discussing, does God today use apparitions, dreams, and visions, and so forth? Because there are charlatans out there that do invent stories about things like this. So we have to obviously test these things according to the scripture, just as we were speaking about. But Rich Romano, it's been such a joy having you on Iron Sharpens Iron. I hope to have you back on again as a guest.
Okay. Thank you so much for having me.
And I look forward to having lunch with you again the next time I'm on Long Island. It'd be great to see you again.
You let me know. All right, Chris. God bless. Have a good day. Thank you.
God bless you. And I want all of our listeners to never forget, as long as you live, the words of Puritan Christopher Love that I used to complete the program with nearly every day when it ran between 2006 and 11. That you should never forget that Jesus Christ is a far, far greater Savior than you are a sinner. God bless, and I hope you tune in tomorrow to Iron Sharpens Iron.